Welcome to the Newtown Big Dreams Podcast, an interview-style talk show that's your gateway to the fabulous and fascinating people who relocated to start a new life. Whether you're new to our podcast or your city, our fellow neighbors from across Canada, North America, and the entire English-speaking world share their stories of reaching new horizons and big dreams. So sit back and relax as we navigate in-depth and intimate conversations with entrepreneurs, thought leaders, executives, creatives, and anyone who can share their story about their Newtown big dreams. And now, here's your host, Luke J. Menkes.
Good morning, everybody. It is April 9th, 2021. It's 11:30 a.m. here on the West Coast, and I'm here with Andrew Paldarella today. He's in Valencia, California. Andrew was born in Detroit, Michigan in 1966 to parents who were fighting for the civil rights movement. Andrew's life story is a combination of the Rocky story, Think and Grow Rich, the Celestine prophecy on steroids. He has been through so many harrowing and intense situations that those stories alone could fill volumes. Andrew has overcome dyslexia, other learning disabilities. He is legally blind in one eye. He was bullied as a child, and he became a school leader and athlete, and he has attained university degrees in speech and communications, religious studies, and Eastern philosophy. Andrew has lived overseas, traveled the world. He's a martial artist. He's a yogi, and he is what many call a health and fitness fanatic. Also, Andrew is a serial entrepreneur, and he's run a successful strategic consulting firm for over 20 years. He is the creator of the Seventh Foundation and One Movement, and he is the best-selling author of The Way, Seven Revolutionary Steps to Living a Meaningful Life, and Making a Real Difference in the World. So we've got lots to talk about. Andrew, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Wow, thank you. Thank you, Luke. It was quite the introduction. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. So you're in Valencia, California. I don't know that town. Where is it? And tell us the story of how you got there.
Sure. It's just north of Los Angeles. Anybody that knows Los Angeles, you go up the Grapevine, or right before the Grapevine, there's a city called Santa Clarita. Used to be just a small town, Valencia, before Santa Clarita. So that's where I'm living. It's where Magic Mountain is, if anybody cares to know where that is. Right. And as you said, I was born in Detroit. My sister and I were born there. My brother was born in New York. And we lived there about 1973, I want to say 1974, and we came here. Actually, we did stay in Ohio for a little while before we came here. My dad got transferred a couple times. So that's kind of how I got here. And then I've also lived in Japan for a number of years and traveled around and came back here. And now I'm taking care of my mom. My dad passed away a while back, and she has some health issues, and I'm caring for her. It's been we've been locked away here for over a year now.
Right. Lockdown's pretty strict there, as I understand it. Of all the places you've lived, would you say that's your favorite?
No. I'm more of a country boy. I love the mountains, the trees, and I really feel a bit, locked in just being in the city because there's no natural settings around. I went to school in Northern California in a place called Humboldt University. Redwoods. I went up there to be a forest ranger and just, I changed my major, I think like seven times, when I went there, but, redwood trees, that was the best place I've ever lived. I mean, it was, forest running and riding, and I was an athlete. I was on the crew, which is rowing team. And I just loved being in the forest. I mean, just going up there and running and riding my bike and, it was awesome. So
nice. So tell us what it was like growing up in Detroit, Michigan, and a little bit about your parents who were fighting in the civil rights movement.
Sure. Well, I was really, really young. Very intense situations there, as you can imagine. Now, I don't know if people remember, but the 1960s riots in Detroit were a big deal. There was a whole lockdown zone because my parents were, Italian and English background. My mom's full Italian. We were able to run in and out of the zone because they wouldn't let black people in and out, but they would let white people in and out. So my mom and dad became food runners, bringing in diapers and baby food. And you couldn't imagine. I mean, they were just depleted of so many things, as well as marching and doing all the rest. Focus Hope movement. My mother worked with Father Cunningham and a bunch of other leaders there to really help for equal rights. It's kind of like we've been fighting this same fight forever, and it's kind of ridiculous at this point. We can't see each other all as equals. We're all created by God. You know, we're all scientifically 99% the same DNA, you know, all human race. You know, let's just get over this already.
Totally.
But to, but to go on with what you were saying, I was, you know, like you said, I have dyslexia. I was born legally blind in one eye, 20/20 vision. It's called a lazy eye. It was turned in. Sometimes it still does that if I get tired. Mm-hmm. But so I had a patch over my good eye to look out of my bad eye, right? So you can imagine having dyslexia, learning disabilities, not being able to see out of your eye. You're not doing so well in school. You're a target for bullies. But I was also very, I don't know, rambunctious kid. I got in a lot of trouble. I had a lot of friends at some point, but I was also bullied a lot. But one story I'll just tell you, being in Detroit was pretty traumatic for me. As a, I was probably like just able to start walking by myself around the little neighborhood, and my friends had me over for lunch. And they live down, we live in a cul-de-sac. I live at the end of the cul-de-sac, they live at the farther end. I'm walking down, walking home after lunch by myself. My parents are out, they're out on the street, and there's this crazy German Shepherd that lives around the corner, but for some reason he's out and he sees me and he just takes off running, and I'm about halfway. Nobody can reach me. So my parents start running towards me. Our neighbors start running towards me. The dog, you know, my parents are yelling at me. I start running up this driveway. I fall down. The dog is literally leaping and going to kill me. My dad picks up a rock. He's in this little center divider. Throws it, hits the dog in the head and knocks him down. I don't know if he knocked him out or what, but enough to where they could reach me and save me. But it was just a pretty traumatic experience. Another one where I don't know why that one came to mind. It was just one of those childhood memories. But, you know, we were often, we had friends that, you know, were dark skinned and black and whatnot. And we'd often, they'd take us out for lunch or whatever. But the cops would often stop them if we were in the back seat because they were black and we were white. And, you know, take us out of the car, call our parents, you know, follow them home. I mean, just a whole bunch of harassment. So it was, it was a very tough time, I think, for my parents, you know, raising kids and dealing with all of those issues and trying to help, you know, move our society forward. So just a few little stories from my childhood there.
Yeah. So, I mean, your parents obviously made a great impression on you about getting along with different types of people and just kind of resisting, you know, any government attempts to like interfere with normal life and normal, respectful, friendly human relations.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my mom, little thing, I mean, she's 5 foot nothing, you know what I mean? And little woman there, she would stand in front of the police, you know what I mean? And tell them with their dogs and yell at them and tell them to stop doing what they're doing because they were so brutal. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it's like, I get it. Yeah. You know, I wrote this book. It's The Way, right? In there, it's called 7 Revolutionary Steps to Living a Meaningful Life and Making a Real Difference in the World. And literally in there, I outline the steps to where we can literally make positive changes in how they're made peacefully, right? The problem is a lot of times we get mad, right? We're upset because of something that's wrong in our society. And we take it out on you know, within the movement. You know, there's always a fringe movement. We get violent. And in Detroit, it got really bad because people were burning down, you know, whole sections of the city. You know what I'm saying? And it was a very tough time. And I think that if we could learn how to, you know, progress in our society without so much violence, it would be a lot easier because you want everybody on your side. And every time you throw a brick at somebody, you create an enemy, right? Every time you burn down somebody's business, you create another enemy. And it also makes you look bad. So if it's like Martin Luther King was one of my personal heroes, Mandela, you know, and Buddha. I mean, you keep going back and back to all the peaceful changers of the world. And I believe that there is a way for us to do that. So, you know, as far as, you know, like I said, my mom, like you said, is my dad too. I mean, he had to work all the time too, but she was there fighting with us all the time and, you know, fighting for these civil rights. When you say fighting for civil rights, it's more like trying to help people wake up to a common sense reality, you know, than it is like, right. Like we need to make you understand something. It's like, just realize that we're all human beings and to treat people as you want to be treated. You know what right. I mean? It's like, we're all equals. So these are the laws, some of the laws within the way. The fourth and fifth law are literally, you know, all people are equal and treat people as you want to be treated. So if we actually embrace those two concepts, I mean, we could solve most of these problems within our society like tomorrow.
You know? Definitely. So I want to ask you more about this book. So it's called The Way, Seven Revolutionary Steps to Living a Meaningful Life and Making a Real Difference in the World. And it seems like today is kind of the perfect time in history for a book like this. So I think more and more people are kind of open to these concepts. And a lot of people are kind of questioning, you know, what's happening in society. So tell us what inspired you to write The Way.
Sure. You know, my friends tell me that this is why I've been delayed my whole life. You don't know me or people don't know my story, but it's just full of just trial after trial after setback, whether it be, you know, dyslexia and learning disabilities, patch, fights, hit by cars, dog bites, you name it.
Wow.
You know, it's like been my whole life story, but it's to get me to realize a lot of the points that are in this book. And again, this isn't some book like, oh, here's some guy who's writing a book to make money and, you know, he's some writer guy. This was literally like 30 years worth of my life. I've given up so much for this. I don't know if people understand dyslexia or the learning disabilities, but it's literally like every time I write, it comes out crazy. Like you can't even read it. It's like every word is misspelled. It's backwards. It's upside down. So I took notes and everything for 30 years and then had to decipher all these things and try to figure out what I was saying. Then over and over and over and rewrite to just have it make any amount of sense. And even then it was still messed up. So I just want people to understand that this was a mission of mine since I was a kid. While I was going through all my life, I also had a lot of, I think as a kid, when you're bullied, you have no idea. You know what I mean? I mean, I had a few moments in my kid where I was being drowned or, you know, whatever it may be. And it's like you're, as a child, you're just freaking out inside because you don't understand why, you know? And so I think this left questions in me, like, what is wrong with this world? You know what I mean? Like, what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? How do we become the best people we can be? How can we fix these problems in our society? I had a lot of spiritual experiences. I've always been close to God and it showed me a lot of things, and it took me a long time to do the research because while I have dyslexia, I also am an avid person who wants to learn. So I got books on tape as a kid. Now they're on, you know, digital. So I listened to thousands of books. I studied all our philosophies, theologies, and all that kind of thing and to find these answers. And I can't tell you, I mean, I have so many epiphanies along the way that were so unbelievably huge that inspired me to write this book. So I collected all this information for 30 years. In 2015, on April 3rd, this was Good Friday, I was sorting out the beginning and ending of this book, and I kept seeing these references to, this is key to true success, this is key to true success. And I put all these keys together, and I put them in the right order, and it was literally like a secret code got unlocked. I saw all the steps, a lot of this information I had collected over the years fit within these seven steps, and how I could explain it to people and how it made. And again, it's not the way like Andrew's way. This is the human way that we become the best people we can be. You can view this more as like a research guy that found it. Like I didn't invent all the stuff in there, but you know, people say it's what's good about it is the way I put together. I see. You know, so So yeah, it's been my life's mission. And again, it's out here because this is the things that I believe, and everybody that I've shown this to sees the same thing, that if we could just get on the same page when it comes to these foundations of life, we can create a better society, we can create better people, and a better world. So, you know, that's kind of the idea behind it, is that, you know, it was my life's mission, and I believe it could really help a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The book's about how to live a meaningful life and how we can make a real difference in the world. And it starts off talking about what the true goal of life really is and the difference between success, as people think of success, and real success.
So yeah, true success.
Tell us
a
little bit about that. Tell us about what is the real goal of life and what's the difference between success and real success.
So yeah, the book starts out with what is the true goal of life. And I believe our society a lot of times gets caught up in the wrong view, right? We look at a lot of times as success as wealth, power, and fame, right? Mm-hmm. So if you actually look at the lives, and this has become evident, I mean, everybody kind of knows this now, look at the lives of all the people throughout history who have the greatest wealth, power, and fame. It doesn't mean that you actually know what to do and how to do it. Your relationships are all great. You're now all automatically healthy. You're automatically treating everybody well. You know, you're fixing the world. If that were the case, we would certainly live in a much better world right now, right? Yeah. If anything, all of these positions, even being holy, right? We look at people like the paramount people in any faith as being super successful. But again, we look at the lives of all these people, and it doesn't mean that that's true, right? So, So what is true success then? And I define it as what a loving mother wants for her child, right? She wants her to be happy and have great relationships, to be healthy, to find something they really love and are passionate about, ideally doing that to support themselves and all the other pieces that makes up a wonderful life. And certainly you need to have enough resources, and but not everybody needs to be super famous or you know, have great sums of wealth. I talk about the wealth level in the book. Everybody needs to be living within the happiness level, meaning you have enough to support yourself, your families, you know, retire, you know, have without this crushing fear and desperation that you go through when you don't have any money. You know, and if you achieve more than that, that's great. But the whole idea of life is really, if you look at everybody's list of what they want the most, it's happiness. That's always at the top of the list. Yes. And, you know, and if you ask people, would you rather have great sums of wealth and be alone and miserable, or have a decent life and be happy? Everybody chooses, I'll take a decent life and being happy, you know, without too much suffering involved, you know, as far as your resources go. So,
right.
So yeah. So success versus true success is you becoming, realizing that you becoming the best person you can be, living your best life, is the whole real goal.
Definitely. I think everybody would agree with that. The next section of your book, you outline the way and how it can work for all of us. So that's everybody. Yep. Can you explain a little bit about that? What is the way?
Sure. Let's just talk, before I tell you what the way is, I want to talk about why it works for everybody. And this is one of those ideas, I think, that is really important. Now, everybody probably understands the game of life, that child's game, right? It's called life. It has a box. You open it up. It's got a game board. It's got pieces and dice and all these rules, right? We have the same situation here. We define it. We call it the human conditions, right? There are universal conditions like gravity, day and night, entropy, those kind of things. And then there's human-centric ones that we're all born ignorant. It takes so long for us to learn anything and, you know, grow up, and we need fuels like water and food and all the rest. So all of these human conditions that we live under are what define our game of life, right? We move, we die, we live, we grow, we need all these different things. And the way is actually designed to work with these foundations of life. So let me say it to you this way. If any of these foundations of your life, I don't care what it is, your relationships, your health, your finances, whatever it may be, if any foundation is shaken or broken, it can really destroy you. But that's why the way is so important, because the way shows us how to shore up all of the key foundations of life so that they can work totally for us. So the idea here is that the way, just let's get into that now. So the meaning of life and the purpose of life can be all be found in this human conditions, right? Because it forces us to not only work on ourselves, develop ourselves, control ourselves, but also develop our society. So you can kind of see the meaning of life is to create a meaningful life. You have to grow and develop yourself and make choices. So, you know, we can look at our purpose too, is to become our best self, live our best life, and for those of faith, go to heaven, right? And also to create our true society, this wonderful society that we all want to live in. And if you look at those three ideas, those ideas right there, they really cover all success books, you know, all of faith, pretty much everything that you want to know in life or want to do in life is covered in those ideas. So the way that we do this and we live all of this is through living rational, positive action. Okay. And the way is living because we do it all the time. It's not something you just do once in a while. You live the way. It's living rational because it's logical, it's reasonable. It includes a customizable implementation plan that is totally customizable to fit everybody's life. That's the whole idea to it. So living rational, positive is about integrating the good into your life. And the ultimate good that humans value, we call virtue, right? So the highest traits of humanity, being healthy and happy and determined and motivated and punctual, you name it, all of these things are virtue. And this is one of those huge epiphanies that can save all of you a lot of time. If you look at any success book, any help book or whatever, it's often just filled with virtues. You can look at like often people compare my book to, Think and Grow Rich. Okay. Now, that guy spent 30 years working out what the super rich guys thought would make you successful. In my book, I spent 30 years figuring out what makes people truly successful, right? And if you look at his book, it's just one virtue after the next, each chapter. The same thing with most of them. So the idea of integrating virtue into your life is key. And then, so living rational, positive action. Now, to take a virtue, you need to make it into action. And we do this through best practices. For example, the virtue of, let's say, being punctual requires you to take actions like setting reminders and leaving on time. The virtue of being healthy requires you to have a good eating plan, a sleeping habit, you know what I mean? All the rest of the facets that would make you healthy. And each one of them do that. So, and this is what I say, this isn't Andrew's. This is what humanity, as far as I, four words that I can determine what we all are trying to do, right? We're trying to live logical, rational, positive action in our life. So it's about integrating virtue and best practices. And then we do that through the seven steps of the way. So that's kind of the basics.
That's great. So you touched on the seven steps briefly. Could we talk about them a little more? Maybe go into the first four steps in a little more detail.
Sure. Absolutely. Let me just say that the first three steps are how anybody, anywhere, at any time can get on their true path. Right? So the first three steps of the way are also really quite short and logical, but they're also very, really deep and key to understanding ourselves and all of humanity. So step one, first, as we as individuals, we must perceive something and then learn about it to know it. But we as humanity innately know good from bad, right from wrong, positive from negative without much thought, right? We can see about like, we know that happiness is better than sadness, freedom is better than slavery, and clean water is better than poisoned water. Being loved is better than being hated, right? So all of those are obvious, and that's unique. I mean, you got to think about this as we're not animals. We have a conscience and an ability to know this kind of innately. So step two, want. You can say, like, I know the good. The next one is step two, want. I want the good. It's now that we know the good and positive, it should be obvious that you would obviously want this for yourself and your loved ones and our world, right? You obviously want peace and freedom and happiness and clean water and everything for everybody, for your loved ones and yourself. The third step is to choose it. You know, we can't just want something. We as humans must actually make a choice. Within this step, I show you how to make a true choice in the sense that it has to kind of override other desires for you to become this really ultimately good and your ultimate self. So the third step is to actually make a choice where you formally choose this good path, right, for yourself. So it's, I know the good, I want the good, I choose the good. So those are the first three steps, and that's how we can get anybody down the path. I know it's a logical kind of a mental step in your mind, but if you dwell on it a little bit, you'll get it. It's pretty pretty deep. And then we go from there. So you want the good. So how do we actually do it? The next steps are actually how we implement it. And you mentioned step four, I believe. So step four is really key. This is another one of those huge epiphanies I had. You know, the whole book was. I mean, the first three steps were too. But this one was one of those after spending, I don't even know how many years reading, like, all the philosophers and, you know, mentalists, you know, the behavioralists, the Skinnards mm-hmm. and Freuds and everybody, and they're all trying to tell you how your mind works and how to change yourself and become your better person. And just so you know, there's like the big battles between change your mind and you'll change who you are. And it's like, no, you change your actions and you change who you are. No, basically it's both of those. You need to put a combination of those things together to really manifest who you really want to be, because you can't just go along with your actions that are horrible and try to think better about them, right? So you need to do both of them. But there's also this key underlying fact, and this is where, like, I was actually reading Freud and Jung, and I was getting into this whole idea of subconscious and the way Freud breaks up the mind, makes everything way too complicated. You know what I mean? It's like it almost makes you seem like you have more selves in you that you have, and it can divide how you think about yourself. But if you get into Eastern philosophy and the whole idea of self and oneness and centering yourself so you're not so divided and confused. And that's where I've been doing meditation and martial arts and whatnot since I was a kid. So I was able to draw on that. And what I realized was what they're really talking about was your core value system, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you have the right core values, it will set up how you see the world. It'll set up your attitude, how you talk, how you think, how you view everything, how you actually go about living your life. The problem is that most of us don't have a complete core value systems that cover everything, right? So if your core values determine your attitude, your intentions, your thoughts, your judgments, your choices, actions, reactions, emotions, feelings, and everything else, right? It's really important to know what they are. But most of the time when you ask people, they're like, they may come up with one or two, but it's not complete. So the idea here is to have a complete core value system that covers all the areas of life so that you can... then have it guide you through life, right? Now, I know we don't have time to go through them all probably on your show, but that's kind of the idea. And let me just go through the first three or four just quickly. I won't go into them in detail, just so you know what they are. So these 10 laws, I call them 10 laws. They can be, you know, 10 commandments, 10 virtues, whatever you want to say. But if you live these, it will help you within your life because it sets So law one is the primary purpose of life is to be your true self, live your true life and go to heaven. Law two, the primary purpose of society is to create our true society, right? It should seem obvious that being the ultimate you, living in the ultimate life, creating the ultimate society and ending up in the ultimate place would be the primary, you know, purpose or mission of your life, right? Mm-hmm. And again, it doesn't mean that there aren't any other life callings. It just means that this is your primary, because if you become a better person, it allows you to do everything else better in your life, right? You're a better parent, you're a better worker, you're a better boss or whatever it may be. So it's like the idea, and I've been a lifeguard, it's like you got to save yourself before you can save other people. You know what I mean? If you're drowning, you're going to be drowning. Everybody else is going to be drowning. So this is the idea of you helping others by lifting up your boats.
Right.
Okay. So. Then we get into those are the two laws of purpose, the three laws, three universal laws. The first law is law three, respect life. And this is, it should be seem obvious that we need to care for our world, because this is our womb and, it grows our food. It, you know, cleans our air, gives us water and everything else. So if we care for it properly, it'll take care of us. And obviously mm-hmm. we're having issues with that. Law four, all people are equal. Now, again, you know, scientifically, we all share 99.9% of our DNA, right? So we're one race. We're one human race. There are no separate races. I think using the race word is the wrong thing. We have problems with prejudice and discrimination, corruption and harmful practices, twisted sense of empathy and sympathy. But we don't have a race problem because, again, we're all one race. And this is also, you know, science and religion agree on this. So for science, again, it's 99.9% of our DNA, but for religion, you know, God created all of us and everything. So we're really just one human family. Yes. And law five, treat people as you would want to be treated, right? If you take law four and five together, that we're all equal and treating people as you want to be treated, like I said, most of the problems in our society can be eliminated. I mean, George Floyd could never have been killed if people that were there embraced this idea, right? Okay. Because equality and treating people as you want to be treated, you know? Mm-hmm. So then the rest of the five laws have to do with God. And it's not so much telling you, you know, like you have to believe in God and all of this. It's more of a how we can all, those of us who believe and don't believe, get on the same page, because it's such an important aspect of our world. And if we embrace these principles, I think it'll help us become, you know, less violent when it comes to the ideas of God, because the whole idea of our faith is to get us closer to divinity, to create peace, to create us better people. There are flaws in all of our faiths. You know what I mean? That people can be corrupted. And if we give up our morality and our conscience and everything else to follow some faith that is really going against it and turning us to hate and violence and all the rest, you're not following God. You're not being faithful. You're actually being twisted into something that's becoming evil. You know, and right. I just want to say Definitely. This too, that most of the evil, the greatest evils that's ever been done on this planet, are all done in the name of good. You know, there's very few times that people are saying, I'm evil and I'm coming out here to destroy everyone. You know what I mean? It's like Hitler was like, oh, we're going to save the world. You know what I'm saying? It's like the Crusades. I mean, you know what I mean? In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to rape, murder, and kill. I mean, how do we even get there is beyond me. But what I'm saying is that they all think they're doing wonderful goodness. You know what I mean? We're doing this. And this is important because I cover this in the book, is that we have to all take responsibility for ourselves and know where we are. And if you're being led into hatred and divided and everything else by somebody, you have to question them. You can't just take their word for it and follow them blindly, because you're going to be possibly committing some horrible, tragedy on the world. And, you know, you're not going to undo tragedy after tragedy if everybody keeps going on and you know, revenging everything that's ever happened in the past. We have to forgive. We have to take responsibility for ourselves. We have to, you know, let me say it this way. You know, the sickness of superiority has infected people and organizations and faiths throughout all of history, right? We can see it as like, I am superior and you are lowly and we must crush you, you know, right? This idea of men, is a lot of times it's men where we either are out there good leaders, right? Out there helping people, those of us of merit really trying to find solutions. But then there's this other type of guy that's always out there trying to crush everybody, take everything. You know, it's everybody's lowly and must be bow down to me. You know, that idea, right? I mean, look at World War II. It was the rise in the West. Oh, we're superior. We need to rule the world. In the East, the same thing, right? The sickness has happened everywhere. You can go somewhere in the world and you'll find people that will hate you. This has to do with equality, treating people as you want to be treated. This whole idea has kind of got to end. So we have these 10 laws. The five laws with God will help us to kind of end this the strife that were created through these misunderstandings of our faiths.
Right. Okay. Got it. So if I understood the seven steps correctly, the first four are I know, I want, I choose, I center, and then step five would be. Is that right?
That is correct. So
what do we learn and do in step five, B?
Right. Okay. Now you just said it. Now that you know and want and choose the good, as well as have a positive core belief system now that's covering all aspects of life as a guide, the next step down is step 5B. Now, here's where we learn how to perfect our day and the foundations of life. And this is what allows you to do better at everything, right? So what we're really talking about here is mastering the art of living, time and ritual, which will enhance the five foundations of life. Now, we're going to learn in this step how to create your daily way, as well as how to use a habit focus sheet. Now, we do this because, you know, as you get started, you got to realize that it takes about 90 days to build a habit, right? So every time you go through a 90-day cycle, as you're trying to integrate virtues and best practices into your life, you may not get them all the first round, right? So you just every 90-day cycle, you get better and better and better as you start following your daily way and you integrating more best practices and virtues into that. Now, you know, it's like the art of life, I can't spend a lot of time, obviously, on all of this stuff, but, you know, when we talk about the art of life, you can look at a building, right? You can just look at some squat, square, ugly, gray building, right? But then you can also see a building that's a work of art, right? It's beautiful. It inspires you. Your life, people's lives are like this too, right? We can live a life where we sit here and just consume, you know, endless food, watch TV, go to work, never move, and just do that our whole life. Or you can live some higher level of life. And this is what the whole idea of the art of life is, to find your expression. This isn't like, I just want to be clear too. The way isn't like you have to do all these things. It's giving you the keys that you integrate into your life and then fit them in the way they work for you. And that's the beauty of the way. It's customizable to your life. So within this step, you also learn, you know, like there's so many little points in here. Just let me make this point. The way is three books. I couldn't do it all in one book because it would be too big. Mm-hmm. So the first book has all seven steps. The second book covering the foundations in this step. So the second book covers the foundations and all the details that you would need to implement it. So and then the third book is the Child of Family Guide, which basically allows you to use the information in the way and the life manual to help raise your kids. It gives you special information about your kids too. So
okay, nice. So
the whole idea here is to master the foundations of life, right? So the foundations of life are life tasks, which covers everything you do, right? Certain things mm-hmm. you can do within there to do things better. Sleep, or practice, fuels, and self-care. And I'll go through each one of these just a little bit. So
sure.
Like I said, with your life tasks, there's always things that you can consider. Obviously, I don't have time to go through them all. But there are some things that you can do, like when you're doing any tasks, you know, you want to have your mind, your body aligned. You want to think about your breathing. You don't want to be hurting yourself doing these things. Or you can use pretty much any situation to better yourself, right? Once you understand like the art of life and how you can integrate virtue and all these things in your life, there's every moment you can be thinking about how you're doing something and do it better. The second foundation is sleep, because without good sleep, you're never going to be the best person you can be, because there's things going on when you're sleeping that you can't do when you're awake, and that's cleaning your body out. It's fixing your brain up, you know, so it's doing all these good things that, if you don't have them and you don't master sleep, you're never going to be as good as you could be. So that's why that's another foundation. Our practice now, you know, is a really key aspect, because we're all born ignorant. Right, and we change throughout our life. So this whole step is about how you can learn to train and educate your mind, your body, your emotions, and your spirit, and you can refine your power and your skill so that you can live a better life. And again, these are all filled with best practices. So if you learn how to care for your body in these in your practice, whether it be meditation or education or how you basically do anything to better yourself in that way, this step will cover it. Okay. So then step four, the fourth foundation are fuels. So here we're talking light, air, water, and food, as well as information. Right. Now, all of these combine, right, to build our bodies, our minds, and often they determine, you know, our overall health, how we're going to age, and so much more. So if you learn how to fuel yourself, to not only just survive, but so that you can thrive, this is going to help you go further in life. And there are some really basic practices in here that can help you. I mean, there's some things that I learned when you're caring for your body that you're like, why don't we all know this? I don't know if you know things like pH balance. I think I learned that in my 30s. I was like, so if you're too acid, you're going to be sick. It's going to be hurting you. You're going to die. If your pH balance is good, it's going to help you be healthy and live. That should be taught in like every school. Everybody should know this, and they should know how to fix it. So, right? So how do we fix it? We eat the right, you know, there's acid forming foods, and then there's pH balancing foods. So again, we show you how to do all these things within the book. And again, there's a lot more tips in there, way beyond that. So, the next foundation, I'm sorry, people are listening. We don't have a ton of time to go through all the steps. Right. And I just want you to know that all of it's in the book. I'm doing videos on it and whatnot. And maybe we can come back and touch on some of these once we're through.
For sure.
But the fifth foundation is self-care. And this really just shows us how to care for our bodies so we can live longer, healthier, and happier lives. Now, while this does focus on our body, this step, it indirectly focuses on the rest of you, because you know, you want to take care of your body so you don't have to deal with it so much, right? You don't want to be in the hospital and going to see doctors all the time because you're not caring for yourself properly. So this shows you how to do that. And one of the keys here is to remember you're your primary caregiver, meaning you have to know what's wrong with you. You have to know, you know, all the different options that you can take and all the rest of it. Don't just leave it up to some doctor to give you a pill. They may not be focusing on what you really need to know. I'm not saying you should give it up, but don't just give your health care up to somebody else. You know, it's you doing actions every day that's going to make the biggest difference in your life.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely. Yep.
All right. So, yeah. So these foundations, you know, when we... You know, we're forced to master these conditions because, I mean, these foundations because of the human conditions we live under, right? Because we have to eat, we have to sleep, we have to do these tasks, we have to do all these different things in our life. And that's why they're the five foundations of life, because doing these and mastering these allows everything else you do to become better, right? Because now you're healthier, you're happier, you're educated, you're you know, emotionally balanced. You have pretty much everything in order. So then... Once you kind of have that all in place, so now you can see the steps here. You've kind of mastered your day, right? You've centered yourself, and then we move on to the next step, which is step six: unite.
Right. So okay. So tell us a little bit about step six: unite.
Sure. Step six is really broken up into two sections. Okay. So we learn in this section in step six on how to manage your relationships and our society. So in the beginning, you know, it's like, we say now, let me just kind of refresh. So now that you know, want, and you're choose the good, right? You have a core belief system that's covering all of life. You're perfecting everything that you do during your day so that you can become the best person you can possibly be. Now, to be happy and to have a really good effect on large issues, you have to unite with other people, right? This means you personally have to have good relationships in your life, but you also have to interact with the greater society in a way that allows you to help and make it a better society, right? So we're going micro in the sense that all the close relationships are micro, all the big relationships like the government, the people that make all your products, that kind of thing, businesses out there, all the macro relationships. So in the micro end, so in the beginning, we learn how to basically put your best foot forward, right? How to overcome negative thinking, depression, if you have suicidal thoughts, addiction, how to communicate better, how to have better relationships, how to nurture them, how to be a better friend, how to turn negative relationships into positive relationships, how to manage the negative ones that just stay negative. And, you know, a lot of other kind of tips on how you can put yourself out in the world and be, you know, liked and get along with people, right?
Sure.
So just to give you an idea of like, just quickly on how to be a better friend, I always feel like this is an important thing to say to people.
Definitely.
You know, don't go by what you see on TV or in shows. All the shows are all, the friendships in them are a joke. They mock, they lie, they know they're cheating each other. I mean, it's all about conflict. So don't use any TV show or especially any dramatic show as some type of reality that you want to follow.
Right.
Okay. So the kind of things you want to do is, you know, keep your word to your friends. Don't break it. If you're going to break your word to your friend, let them know as soon as possible, you know, apologize for it, make amends. You can give them compliments. You want to be kind to your friends. You know, you want to express gratitude. You want to really listen. You want to communicate well. You want to be interested in what they're doing. You know, and be interesting too. You know, you want to be able to maybe give them some gifts sometimes. You know, you want to be an honest and trustworthy friend. You know, you want to look out for these people. You don't want to be talking behind their backs. You want to be defending them, right,
yeah.
To people. You basically want to be talking about your friends as if they were listening to you at all times. If you're not doing that, you could be betraying your friendship. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You want to ask them questions, you know, ask them for their advice, for their opinions. You can plan times to meet, you know, do special favors for them, offer them help, you know, being polite, being, I don't know, some of the other things, you know, smelling good, you know, having good sense of humor, you know, just enjoy spending time with them and actually being quiet too.
Yeah.
you know, right. helps too. I mean, two guys sitting around just fishing and not saying anything for a couple hours doesn't mean they're lonely or, you know, it's really a sad situation. It could be a beautiful situation. They're just enjoying sure. their friendship, right?
Yeah.
You know, acknowledge people's suffering. You know, if people are going through a hard time, don't just, you know, blow by it or whatever. Ask them if they need some help. Talk to them. Maybe go out for a walk or something. Mm-hmm. You know, basically treat people as you would want to be treated in that situation, right? So yeah. Those are some quick things. There's obviously more in the book that we could go into there. But the next part of the whole step six is about how we interact with our society in general. So this is where we learn how to manage power, government, business, wealth, in order to create the society we want.
Okay.
This whole section covers things like how to fix our justice system, how to end homelessness and poverty, how to fix our voting systems. It includes why violence will never lead to lasting peace, as well as all the steps on how we can peacefully force positive change within any organization or society. Mm-hmm. So this whole idea of joining together is one of the keys to humanity. You know, none of us are an island. We're being divided. We're being told we're divided, right? The truth is we're not divided. Everybody wants the same things, right? We all want a functioning government. We all want clean air, healthy planet, good food, our kids to have great education, great lives. We all want great lives. The problem is that we're having leaders that are being corrupted and some of them are lying to us and manipulating us and creating bad systems or doing bad jobs, you know, and all the rest of the things that are messing up our society. So mm-hmm. the truth is, though, we're not competing against each other, right? We're competing against ourselves to be the best we can. So within step six, we learn, you know, how we can actually take the steps to create a better world. I just want to say, because of what's happening in the world today, just to break out of this a little bit, you know, this whole thing, the setup that we're under is not you versus me, us versus them, black, brown versus white, rich versus poor, red versus blue, or even country versus country. The real fight is, you know, it's good versus evil. It's light mm-hmm. side versus dark side. It's virtue versus vice. It's wrong versus right. Love versus hate. Truth versus lies, right? It's all of those things. It's not us versus them, you know, and right. we have to realize that. We can't fight this with hatred. You know, hate begets hate, violence more violence. No tragedy or atrocity is going to be undone by another tragedy or atrocity. You know, there's no end to the cycle of violence and hatred if we all work to avenge every wrong, you know, that's ever happened to us and keep going back in time. It's never going to end. It's only through this, you know, feeling sorry for people, through pity, for this desire for all this horror and hatred and misunderstandings to end, that we're going to actually find a way for forgiveness and hope and unity and, you know, to real solutions. So, you know, for me, it's like this whole thing, all this negativity and this hatred and all of this has got to end. And there's only one way to do this, in my opinion, and it's through love. It's through this conscience. It's through our soul. It's through our understanding of some of these higher ideals. Or basic ideals, I should say, like being equal and treating people as you want to be treated, that we're going to actually get there.
Right.
So, sorry, totally. I could go on and on, but I just had to say that.
Well, it sounds like a great series of books. There's one more step in the process, which is perfect, step number seven.
So yes.
Tell us a little bit about step seven.
Sure.
And then we'll talk about how people can get this book.
Sure,
the three books, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Step seven, when you look at the word perfect, it has kind of two meanings for it. It's like you can work to perfect something as in refine it. So when you look at the seven steps, at the end, you always kind of go back and you're looking at your life, you're looking at everything to see if there are ways to refine it. It's like often we get to a place where we think we've reached the pinnacle, and then you go, oh, wait, there's a whole nother mountain to climb right behind there, right? Or there's another level you can see. So we don't want to ever become stagnant and complacent. We also have to realize that some things that are of the past, if we hold them dear, it could be a business, you know, creating plastics. Oh, what a wonderful invention it was, you know, 100 years ago or whatever. Now it's become a a curse, you know what I mean, to some degree. It's polluting the world. So we can't just hold on to things because we've done in the past, the same with our tradition. So look to perfect your life and our society at the same way. And then there's the other idea where everything is perfect. We have, maybe there's a, like an artwork, or there's parts of your life that are working well. It doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. You know, we live in an entropic universe, so everything requires work to keep it that way. Even works of art in like the Louvre, right? They have them behind glass. They have, you know, certain air that can't get certain light. But all of those things are going to just disappear eventually. They're just going to turn to dust. So it takes work. So within step seven, we learn this idea of how you can refine, but also work to keep what is good, good. And then all the steps kind of work together. To do that, let me just give you a little summary of the steps real quick. So since we're at the end, and then we'll go on to the rest. So,
sure.
All right. So the reason you're here is because, again, this is a training ground that's preparing you for a greater reality. The true goal of life is for you to become the best, your best self, and to help create a better world. So the way to achieve this is through living rational, positive action, because it's through integrating virtues and best practices into your life that you can have your basic habits as these best practices. Mm-hmm. So the way is going to work for everybody because it's centered in these human conditions, which we all are forced to live under and deal with. The first step of the way gets us on a true path, for to know the positive is to want it. And if we're going to attain our desire, you got to make a choice, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then at that point, for our choice allows us to then center ourselves in a complete core belief system, because that's what allows us to, you know, guide us through life. Because to become our best, we have to kind of have some type of center that we can work out from. So from there, we go into step five, which allows us to, you know, create a best daily way that we can possibly do. Within step six, we learn how to you know, better ourselves, put our best foot forward in the world, as well as manage all the key aspects of our society. How do we can unite to actually make these positive changes happen? So the way works for everybody because it's all based on these human conditions, and it's through these steps that we all can come better. And I just want to say this, you know, again, I'm not some writer guy that's like out there to write endless books. I really try to make this book as short as possible and give you the most dense information as possible without you having to do all this research. You know, me spending my life doing this allows you to kind of benefit from all of this information really quickly. And I just want to say that this isn't really a book. It's something that we can live. You know, the way is a way of living and viewing life. So while it's starting in a book, I believe it can become a movement as well as a force that can help us all in our in every society and every faith kind of get on the same page when it comes to the basics in life so we can create a better world.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that sounds really wonderful. So tell us, how do we find these three books? What formats are they available in?
Sure. Let me just say first, the way, the very first book just came out, final version, the hardback, on December 24th last year. I wrote all three books at the same time. The other two books are in editing.
Okay.
I've had some issues with my publisher, so I'm going with another one at this point.
So, okay.
And the trials and tribulations of doing business. So, you know, you can get the way anywhere. I mean, it's available in every bookstore out there in the world, pretty much. You can find it. You can find more about the way on my website. The hub for everything is 7wayme. That's the number 7, WAY.ME. You can think of it like 7wayme, you know, like you're commanding yourself to get all the seven steps in the way right now. So it's kind of easy to remember. There you can learn about the way. Like I said, you can watch societal solution videos. We're putting those out. There's going to be videos that are going to cover all aspects of life, all the biggest problems we have. I have the One Movement and Party that's up there. We're starting in a party and movement to help implement these great changes in the world. There's an action center which has a lot of great information to help you in your life. There's a lot of resources mentioned in the book, like how to make your daily way, your meditation sheet, the focus sheet, all that kind of stuff is in the action center. If you're looking for coaching or training programs, that's in there. All the social media is on the site. You can find all our social media links. Join us there on, you know, Instagram and Facebook, everywhere. We're posting videos all the time. And
wonderful.
Yeah, that's basically the way to find us, 7wayme.
Perfect. So we're going to put all those links in the show notes. So if someone's on the treadmill or walking, they can just tap on it. They don't have to stop and write stuff down. Makes it super simple. So, Andrew, what an amazing story. We could talk for hours about all the things you've been through and about this amazing book series that you've created. So I really want to thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it.
I very much appreciate being here, and thank you for listening, everybody. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Newtown Big Dreams podcast with your host, Luke Menkes, and his authentic guests. And we love our listeners and hope you subscribe now to learn more about the amazing journeys of our incredible guests who relocated to find a new town, big dreams. And remember, make your dreams big.